Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this Sunday morning for the sermon titled, Two Ton Doors. Our scripture lesson today comes from Revelation chapter 21, verses 15 through 26. While you're looking that up, the tattletale angel went running to God. God, 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 come here, look, 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 look. God stopped for a moment and said, what? And the angel pointed down and said, look, that pastor called in sick to church today so he can go play golf. And God said, really? And he looked down and he watched as the pastor got out there on the golf course. And the angel kept murmuring, I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he did this. The pastor down on the golf course teed up on his first hole, smacked that ball and sent it whistling down the fairway. And one putt later, he was in the cup. Two par on a five par hole. Two strokes. He thought, that's amazing. The second hole, two strokes. The third hole, he hit a hole in one. By the seventh hole, he felt he could do no wrong. And the angel just kept watching. And every time that pastor smacked the ball, God would go like that, and magical things would happen. And the angel kept watching and going, what are you doing? And God said to him, shush. And finally down to the ninth hole, he backed that ball up and smacked it. Hole in one. He stood there cheering and carrying on. And the angel looked at God with his mouth open and said, Lord, why did you help him? He played hooky from church today, told everybody he was sick. God sat back and stroked his long beard for a minute and looked at the angel and said, yeah, but who's he going to tell? Revelation chapter 21, verse 15. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its walls, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The walls were made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each one made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and its Lamb are the temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May God add his blessings to these passages. We seek him out. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, bless these words and bless our time here. Let us be lifted up and strengthened by this message from you. Let us know what we have yet. And let us take this message out into the world and be strengthened by it in the week to come. And let us be ready to talk about our Savior, your Son Jesus, in whom we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. In NASA is the world's largest door. I never got a chance to. I always wanted to, but I never got a chance to. But the NASA Assembly Building where the space shuttles are built, that door is 500 feet tall. It is the same height. As the height of Niagara Falls. And it's made for one reason and one reason only, so that the space shuttle may enter in and out of it. At Fort Knox, the vault doors are located down in the bottom of that thing, and they weigh somewhere around 250 tons. If you think that's an unjustified size, well, you better just think what's on the back side of that door. It's all the gold bullion. It says here that Fort Knox has been known to store upwards of 5,000 tons of gold at any given time, which translates into 135 billion pounds. When I was young, my daddy took me to a movie put out by Walt Disney in 1982. And that movie was called Tron because we wanted to see science fiction. We loved it. My father even liked it. And if you've never seen that movie, I forgive you. It is a really good movie. And there's a scene in there where they enter into a laboratory to thwart the forces of darkness. And they have to go through this door that when they start to open it, just keeps on opening and opening as it swings around. And they watch it go by. And somebody says, "Man, that's a big door." And I often thought they built that door out of plastic just for the movie, but it's not true. The Livermore, let me see if I've got this right. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory is where that door exists. And it is considered one of the biggest simple opening doors in the world. It is 9 feet thick. It's 12 feet wide and weighs 100,000 pounds. That's a big door. A special bearing in that door has that door set in such a way that a single person can open that door simply by putting the handle in place and walking it on its axis. It was used to shield the rotating target Neutron Source 2, RTNS, or the world's most intense source of continuous fusion neutrons. Behind that door, matter is split. And all of that doesn't really matter anything. It wasn't until this past week that events took place, and I happened to be helping my wife make iced tea. And when you help Wendy make iced tea, you do what she says and you don't question it. And when we took the tea bags out of the little tin, she goes, "The tin's about empty. Go get a box of tea." Now, every husband in this room knows about what's to happen. I walked into the pantry. I turned the light on. I said, "There is no tea in there." And she goes, "Yes, there is. You're just not looking." I went and got a flashlight. "There ain't no tea in here." And that woman walks in and she goes, "It's right here." One box out of the way, and there was the tea. And she gives me that look. And you know what that look is? That every husband who's seen that knows that look means, "I can't believe I married him." We drink Salada tea. Now, I don't know why we do. It's because that's what she likes and that's what she makes the tea out of. And so we drink Salada tea. And we drink a Salada of it. Get it? Couldn't pass that up. But I was reading the box. And in the process of reading the box, I learned that Salada tea was a very early tea in Canada and became so popular in the United States that the inventor of the company, Peter C. Larkin, brought it from Canada down here to the United States, to Massachusetts, to make tea. And so powerful was the company that in 1927, when they refurbished the front end of the building, he commissioned these two gigantic, elaborate, two-ton doors to be the entrance to the company. They were to celebrate the fact that in 1892, Larkin was the first person to ever take tea leaves, make them uniform into the tea that we use, and put them in foil packages so they would be uniform. And then later, P. Peter C. Larkin came up with the mesh tea bag that we all use today. He was so popular, he wanted to build it so successful that he got a hold of an architect down there, the architect firm of Desmore and Leclerc, and got a hold of sculptor Henry Wilson. There are 10 panels featuring the story of the origins of tea from the beginning of humanity to now. And they're elaborate. It shows farmers harvesting and sorting and drying the teas and transporting the boxes on their head and elephants taking the large boxes. All of this carved into these gigantic bronze doors. In 1927, the doors won a silver medal at the Paris Expo for their exquisite craftsmanship. And while the building still stands, it no longer houses the Salada Tea Company. They moved to a bigger place because they make Salada Tea. Try it again. But the doors are still there. As a matter of fact, they are a tourist attraction. And one of the things about it was when the doors were so big and done and hung by celebrated craftsmen that the people of that time criticized Larkin for the size of the doors. This is the dumbest thing we've ever seen. How in the world are you supposed to get in these doors? And Peter Larkin must have been a genius because he walked them into the backside of the factory to behind the doors and he went, "You open the doors like this," and flung them open. It was said he wanted the doors to tell a story, to see something that seemed impossible to do, and yet with a mere movement of hand, you could enter in these 2-ton doors. As we all know, some of you on the camera side won't, we lost someone very special. Extremely special to me and many others this past week when we lost Miss Martha Butts. And in the process of thinking about her and the fact that she is now in heaven with Pat, her husband Robert, I couldn't help thinking what she saw. A couple days ago, we were there with her last Sunday. And she looked at me when everybody was talking around her and everything was going on. She reached out and took my hand, smiled right at me, and winked. She told me a few days or a few weeks earlier that while she didn't want to pass on, she knew where she was going. And that was okay. And on that day, she went. And just shortly after that, we were sitting there reading that box. And I was thinking about how the doors of heaven are flung open and left open to each and every one of you who has believed simply. It was funny to me listening to the morning songs. Linda, when did you pick out that music?
It was Wednesday.
She picked out the music on Wednesday. And I sent the sermon title over on Saturday. I've told you all 100,000,000 times that I don't pay any attention to what she does unless she's yelling at me, and then I pay even less. She picks out the music, I pick out the sermon. And never the twain shall meet until Sunday morning. But in the process of it and not knowing, John chapter 5 tees up what we're talking about today. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man who was cured picked up his mat and walked. If you don't understand the story of that pool, once every day at a certain time, a spirit would come down, an angel, and stir up the pool and give it magical waters, and the first one in there got healed. And because he was lame, he couldn't do it. He was impossible to get there. He might as well have been pushing on a 5,000-pound, 2-ton set of doors trying to get in there. And he couldn't. And Jesus appears to him and says to him simply, "Do you want this?" "Yes, I do. Get up." When Jesus comes to us, when we finally realize who he is, when we see him in all his glory, we realize that we don't have to push against anything. We don't have to lift anything. We don't have to try to prove ourselves. All we have to do is listen to him say, "Do you want to be saved?" "Yes." The woman at the well asked for the same question. "How do I get this?" The woman giving away all she had, the mite, the little pence at the prayer, at the temple. She just wanted to be saved. Zacchaeus, when Jesus came to him, said, "How do I do this?" And it was very simple. "Just believe and accept me." That's how we became Christians. That's how we answered the question. Each of us comes to it in our own time. But for that man, it was just that easy. The weight was gone. The doors were flung open. There is a story about a widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson. He died in Michigan, at the incredible age of 120 years old. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to his cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day while he was working at his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. His pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and called out to him, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." "Yes, I was just thinking," said the old man. "Thinking about what?" asked the pastor. "Oh, I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will be the great loaf in glory like? I tell you, sir, there'll be enough for everyone and enough to spare up there. I just can't wait to see how wonderful it is." It is important enough to me to know that Martha knew where she was going. It was important enough to me that what she gave me in her final lesson was to make sure I preached on an old subject, and that is when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout and praise God for all eternity. It seems funny that we opened with that line. The writer here in Revelations is reminding himself, explaining to us, and laying down a record that we can go back to, that as great as we think jewels and emeralds and rubies and all the other kind of stuff he named in there, and the streets of gold and the largeness of it all, matters not except for one simple thing. Let me read this to you. This morning when we were singing this, I was smiling. Later on when we sang "Victory in Jesus" and how he made the lame to walk again, I really began to smile. I have a funny feeling that Martha, when she got up there, said, "Father, I need you to take care of lining all this up today." Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, will tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing and shout. The Bible says, John writing from the Isle of Patmos says, the gates will never close. Those that have washed themselves pure, those that have accepted, those who have simply said, I need this weight taken off of me, I cannot walk, those who have said that and accepted Jesus Christ are going to walk through those gates. The gates that are larger than anything we can imagine, that were flung open and left open for us. They may be 2-ton doors, but to God, when He gave us the blessing of Jesus Christ, they weighed the weight of a feather. Our belief, our acceptance, our realizing who He is reminds us that we're not done here yet. We have an eternity, brothers and sisters. We have a place to go on to. And we're not here singing and shouting and praising God because we want to see that city. No, we're singing and shouting and praising God because He gave us Jesus Christ. He took that weight off of us. And whatever weight that's in front of us has been removed. In his book, A.M. Hunter, the New Testament scholar, relates the story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place he was going. As the doctor fumbled for a reply, he heard a scratching at the door and realized he had his answer. He said, "Do you hear that?" he asked the patient. "That's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he's gotten impatient. And he has come up and hears my voice." He has no notion of what's inside this door, but he knows that I am here. Isn't that the same with you? We have no notion what lies beyond that door, but it's enough to know that the door will be opened and our Master will be there. Sing the wondrous song of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansions bright and blessed, He has prepared for us a place. The doors are open. The light is there. And Jesus simply says over and over again, just accept me. And it all opens. I'm thankful that I was able to see that grow between her and Pat. And I'm thankful that this sermon is in memory of her. There ain't no weight, no 2-ton doors, no 500-foot tall ones, no nothing in our way that won't be flung open and away by simply confessing the name of Jesus Christ now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We're blessed. Now let us take these blessings and show them. Let us be reminded that all the things that we have on this planet, curing of cancer, the removal of it, healing nature, even if we don't get to where we want, in the shape we want to be in, one day, Father, we will be made whole and new. We will walk the streets with those we have seen previously go on. And all because of Your Son, Jesus, in whom we give thanks, in whom we praise. And Father, I pray a special prayer right here, right now. If there are those people out there that do not know Jesus Christ, get to them. Open something for them. And if they're listening, Father, let them hear that grace and mercy. Thank You for this message, Father, for this body, for this family, for the spirit that resides here. Let us dwell in it and go forth. In Jesus' name, thank You for opening those 2-ton doors. Amen. As we